Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at something that honestly kept me up a little bit last night.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, kept me up is an understatement. I was staring at my phone wondering if I should just, I don't know, throw it in the microwave.
I get it.
We're talking about the ghost in the machine. And to kick this off, we have to talk about Kevin Mitnick. You know the name, right? The world's most famous hacker.
Absolutely. A legend in the cybersecurity world. He was the one who really taught us that the weakest link in any security system isn't the firewall. It's not the encryption.
It's the human.
It's the human sitting at the keyboard.
Right. Mitnick passed away in 2023. But looking at the research stack we have today, it feels like his ghost is just haunting the digital world.
It really does.
But it's not just him anymore. The premise of what we're looking at today is that, you know, while Mitnick is gone, his methodology, hacking the human, has been automated, perfected, and scaled up by artificial intelligence.
That's the core of it. We are looking at the reality of 2026. The whole image of the hacker has fundamentally changed. We all have that movie stereotype in our heads.
The guy in the dark hoodie.
Right, the guy in the hoodie drinking energy drinks in a basement, furiously typing green code to bypass a mainframe.
In the Matrix-style hacker. I'm in.
Exactly. Well, you can just throw that image out. It's obsolete.
So what is it now?
Today, the hacker isn't a person. It's a large language model, an LLM, running on distributed cloud servers. It's an autonomous AI agent capable of calling thousands of people at the same time.
Wait, hold on. Thousands. Simultaneously. I mean, I've used ChatGPT. Sometimes it takes 10 seconds just to write a decent limerick. How is it running thousands of live phone calls?
Because these aren't your general purpose chatbots. These are specialized, stripped down agents running on high speed shards. They can spin up 5,000 instances of themselves in an instant.
Wow.
They speak fluent languages, they don't sleep, and this is the really scary part, they use psychological profiles built from your social media to manipulate you specifically.
So the mission for this deep dive is to get our heads around social engineering 2.0. We're going to unpack how we went from exploiting software bugs to exploiting human bugs.
It is a systemic shift. We aren't just dealing with malicious code anymore. We are dealing with malicious empathy.
That is a terrifying phrase.
Right.
Malicious empathy. Okay, let's ground this in reality because it sounds a little bit sci-fi.
It does, but it's not.
I want to look at a case study from our sources, the Dubai financial firm scenario. This was just last month, and it just paints the picture perfectly.
It does. It's a textbook example of AI-backed phishing. Or voice phishing. So let's set the scene. It's 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. The chief financial officer of a major firm in Dubai gets a call.
And the caller ID says it's the CEO.
It says it's the CEO. And in the old days, you'd pick up, maybe it's a robotic voice or a bad connection, that weird delay.
Right, you'd know something was off. But the source says the voice was perfectly natural.
It was more than just natural. This is where the tech stack gets really interesting. The AI didn't just clone the voice. It pulled metadata from the CEO's public calendar.
Okay.
It knew he usually commutes at 9 a.m. Then it cross-referenced real-time Google Maps traffic data for Sheikh Zayed Road.
Wait. It checked the traffic?
It checked the traffic density. Then it used a generative audio layer to synthesize background noise-specific car horns, the hum of tires on asphalt that matched the exact auditory environment of a traffic jam on that specific road at that specific time.
That is wild. So it's not just playing a sound effect, it's simulating an entire environment to sell the lie.
Precisely. And the tone wasn't robotic. The AI adopted a slightly stressed tone. The CEO tells the CFO, "Hi, Ahmed, I'm stuck in this mess and I have an urgent meeting with U.S. investors starting in 10 minutes.
And it's using the CEO's actual catchphrases.
His specific catchphrases, yeah. It creates this scenario of intense pressure. A deal is about to collapse, the banking auth token isn't sinking, and they need to wire $300,000 to a consulting firm immediately.
And because it sounds like him, acts like him, and the background noise matches his real-life commute, Ahmed doesn't suspect a thing.
Why would he? The context fits reality perfectly. He authorizes the transfer. 5 minutes later, that money is routed through multiple accounts in the Cayman Islands and just vanishes.
The whole thing took 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
And the kicker here, and this is what gets me, is that no malware was installed. They didn't hack the bank's servers. They didn't break a single firewall.
No.
They hacked Ahmed's trust.
That's the takeaway. The vulnerability was trust. Our security software looks for viruses. It doesn't look for a stressed boss stuck in traffic.
So how is this even happening? I mean, technically speaking, The source material outlines this toolkit that these 2026 hackers are using. It mentions something called the democratization of crime.
This is really the economic driver of the problem. You don't need to be a state-sponsored spy agency anymore. You don't even need a degree in computer science. There's something called shadow AI on the dark web. For a subscription of about $500 a month, basically the cost of a nice car lease, anyone can access a dashboard that automates all of this.
$500 a month to become a supervillain. That is disturbingly cheap.
It's the SaaSification of crime, software as a service. Mm-hmm. And the tools you get are just incredibly potent. Let's talk about voice cloning. A few years ago, you needed hours of high-quality audio to train a model to sound like someone.
Right.
Now, the sources mention things like 11 Labs Dark Editions and similar engines. They need less than 3 seconds of audio.
3 seconds. I have sneezes that last longer than that. So you're saying if I upload a video of me complaining about my latte on Instagram, that's enough?
That is ample data. They just scrape that from your social media stories. The AI analyzes the spectral footprint of your vocal cords, the cadence, the pitch. It fills in all the gaps with predictive modeling.
And it's not just the voice itself.
No, it's not just the timbre. These engines can inject emotion. They can make the clone sound angry, panicked, sorrowful, whatever the situation calls for.
Which plays right into the psychological manipulation. But what about the brain behind the voice? Because a voice is just sound. Who or what is writing the script?
That's where the unethical LLMs come in. You've heard of ChatGPT or Claude, which have all these safety guardrails. If you ask ChatGPT to write a script to scam a grandmother, it will refuse.
Yeah, it gives you a lecture on ethics.
It'll tell you to be a better person.
Uh-huh.
But the bad guys are using models like WormGPT and FraudGPT. These aren't trained on polite literature. They are trained on dark web logs, successful phishing emails, and psychological manipulation tactics.
So they're basically trained on crime.
They use reinforcement learning, but instead of rewarding the AI for being helpful, they reward it for being deceptive. It's optimizing for the con. It's optimizing for yield.
So these models know exactly when to show empathy and when to threaten legal action to get someone to comply.
They are, in essence, digital psychopaths.
And the sources also touch on video. I think we all have this reliance on seeing is believing. But that seems to be going out the window, too.
Completely. We're seeing real-time video mapping. This isn't just a pre-recorded deepfake. This is live. The AI maps the target's face onto the hacker's face in real time. It simulates blinking, lip syncing, even micro expressions.
So I could be on a Zoom call with my boss, seeing them blink and react to what I say, and it's all just an AI mask.
Worn by a bot, yeah.
It just dismantles our basic sensory reliance.
Yeah.
But here is where it gets really interesting for me and maybe a little insulting. The profile of the victim.
Right.
I always assume these scams targeted, you know, the elderly, people who aren't as tech savvy. But the research says the complete opposite.
This is the Dunning-Kruger reverse. The statistics show that C-level executives, lawyers, and even IT professionals are often better targets than the elderly.
Wait, IT professionals? The people who build this stuff, how are they falling for it?
It's so counterintuitive, but it makes sense when you look at the psychology. First, there's the overconfidence bias. Smart people think, I can't be tricked.
Right.
That very thought process actually lowers their guard. They are looking for the threat because they assume they'd spot it a mile away.
So their own arrogance is the vulnerability.
Exactly. Second, they are high-value targets. Access to a CEO's account is worth 100 times more than a regular user's, so the AI spends more compute power, more resources targeting them.
And third,
busy schedules. Executives are always in a rush. They value efficiency. Scammers exploit that urgency to get things done.
That connects back to the System 1 versus System 2 thinking that was mentioned in the notes. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. This is behavioral economics 101, but weaponized. System 2 is your logical, slow, analytical thinking. It's what you use to solve a math problem. System 1 is your fast, emotional, fight-or-flight response.
And these AIs are designed to trigger that.
They are fine-tuned to trigger System 1. So by creating urgency, the deal is collapsing.
Yeah.
They force you into panic mode.
And when you're in that mode...
Research shows that when you are in that emotional fight-or-flight state, your effective IQ drops by about 30%. You literally become less intelligent in that moment. The AI knows this. It bypasses your logic circuits by hacking your emotions.
It's dropping your IQ so it can rob you.
Yeah.
That is just devious.
And they use social proof and authority too, right?
Yes. The AI will claim that other executives have already approved this, which is social proof. or it'll impersonate police or bosses to force compliance. It's leveraging our very deep social conditioning to obey authority.
Okay, so that's the individual attack. But looking at the timeline in our sources, this whole thing is evolving so fast. We went from, what, 2023 grandparent scams, which were pretty low quality?
Pretty low quality.
To the 2024 Hong Kong firm that lost $25 million in a deepfake conference call. But now in 2026, we are talking about swarm attacks.
This is the nightmare scenario. We were moving from a single AI agent to collective intelligence. Imagine a team of AI agents working together like a specialized heist crew.
Ocean's 11, but it's just software. Think less George Clooney, more a distributed server farm. Let's role play this so you can really feel it. Imagine you're at home. You get a text from Amazon saying a delivery is delayed. You click track. Nothing happens, maybe a glitch.
Okay, that's a standard annoyance. I get that every week.
But in the background, Agent A just logged your device type, your IP address, and your location. It signals Agent B. Agent B is the voice agent. It immediately calls your phone, spoofing your bank's number.
Ah.
It says, "Hi, we see a suspicious login attempt from a new device on your Amazon account."
Okay, now I'm listening. That connects the dots. That's clever.
Right. And while you are on the phone with the bank, Agent C, the social engineer, accesses your spouse's leaked data. It clones their text style and sends you a message.
What does it say?
Something like, "Honey, pick up the bank's call. I just got a notification too. It looks serious."
Oh, wow. So I'm getting it from two sides now.
There are three sides. The text, the call, and your spouse's apparent confirmation. It's a swarm. They are coordinating in real time. The bank agent knows exactly when that text lands on your screen and references it. "Sir, did your wife just message you? We see her account is compromised too."
That is just overwhelming. It's total reality distortion.
It's designed to break the human brain through sheer volume of confirmation. No single person can process three verified sources telling them the same lie and debunk it in real time. It's too much.
It basically removes your ability to think critically. So, okay, I'm thoroughly, sufficiently paranoid now. I'm looking at my phone like it's a bomb. Let's talk defense. The sources mentioned paranoia as a skill.
It's a reframe. We used to think of paranoia as a negative mental condition. In 2026, it's a survival skill. And the first thing we have to accept is the death of biometrics.
So that whole "my voice is my password" thing.
Dead. Buried. Banks using voice authentication are failing left and right because AI voice prints are now too perfect. You simply cannot rely on voice or even video as proof of identity anymore.
So what do we do? If I can't believe my own ears, what's left? The source mentions the human patch.
Since technology is the weapon, we need analog human protocols. The first one is an old spy technique, the family safe word.
I love this one. It feels very Cold War. But let's be real. Getting my teenager to remember to take out the trash is hard enough. How am I going to get him to remember a distress code?
It's a challenge, no doubt, but it doesn't have to be a complex alphanumeric code. It can be a phrase or even a specific irrelevant question. But the rule has to be absolute. If you get a call saying your daughter has been kidnapped or your husband is in jail and needs bail,
you ask for the safe word.
You ask for the safe word. If the caller, even if they sound exactly like your loved one, crying and screaming, doesn't know it, you hang up. Period.
It cuts through all that emotional noise. What about in a corporate setting? You can't really have a secret handshake with your CEO.
That's where out-of-band verification comes in. This is the golden rule of 2026. If you get a call asking for money or data, you never, ever comply on the same call.
Never. Even if it's the CEO.
Especially if it's the CEO. You say, "I'll check and get back to you." You hang up. And you call them back on a verified number you already have saved in your internal directory. You never trust the incoming signal.
The incoming signal is always potentially compromised.
Always.
That seems like the only foolproof way. Hang up and call back. There was one other technique I really liked. Break the algorithm.
Yes. This one exploits the limitations of AI. You ask sensory questions. And AI, no matter how advanced, doesn't have a body. It doesn't have physical memories that aren't digitized.
So asking something like, "What did the kitchen smell like when we cooked dinner yesterday?"
Exactly. Or, "What was that weird stain on your shirt at the BBQ?" Specific, undigitized memories. AI thrives on data. It gets confused by human chaos and sensory details that haven't been recorded online. It might try to hallucinate an answer, but it'll likely be generic.
I like that. Confuse the bot with human messiness.
Yeah.
But surely there are technical defenses coming, too. We can't just rely on sniffing the kitchen.
No, of course not. We are seeing the rise of the AI shield or personal security agents, PSAs. This is the positive side of the coin. You have a local AI on your phone, privacy focus, running on the device itself that listens to your calls.
But it's not listening to the words.
Not the words, but the patterns. It's looking for the fakes. It detects deepfake artifacts, breathing loops that are too regular, background noise repetition that doesn't match reality, digital clipping the human ear can't hear.
And it warns you.
It whispers in your ear, warning, 99% probability this is a deepfake.
So it becomes a battle of my AI versus your AI.
A sword and shield battle. And we are just the spectators, hoping our shield is strong enough.
That brings us to the bigger picture. We've talked about individuals and companies, but the source material zooms out to geopolitics. This isn't just about stealing $300,000. It's about hybrid warfare.
This is where the stakes get national. If you can spoof a CEO, you can spoof a general. Imagine an election. We saw glimpses of this in 2024, but in 2026, the threat is releasing fake audio of a candidate admitting to corruption or racism right before a vote.
And even if it's debunked a day later, the damage is done. The viral cycle is always faster than the truth cycle.
Exactly. It's about destabilizing truth itself. Or think about infrastructure. Agents simulating calls to power plant operators, spoofing the voice of a superior officer ordering an emergency shutdown.
You could black out a city without firing a single missile.
That's the threat.
That's terrifying. And it creates a legal vacuum, doesn't it? I mean, how do we prove anyone is real? If I get a call from the president, how do I know it's really him?
That is the defining question of our time. The struggle to define proof of personhood. The sources mention concepts like the authenticated internet, where every message or call needs a digital signature proving a human origin.
Things like WorldCoin.
Exactly. Projects like WorldCoin are attempting this, though they have their own controversies around privacy.
It feels like we need some kind of international regulation.
The expert consensus is pointing toward a social engineering non-proliferation treaty. We control nuclear weapons. We need to control autonomous psychological agents. We need rules of engagement for these digital weapons because right now it is the Wild West.
So as we wrap this up, what does this all mean for the listener right now? Because we've dropped a lot of doom and gloom here.
It means that trust has become a rare, expensive, and dangerous commodity. We have to fundamentally change how we navigate the world.
We can't believe our eyes or our ears anymore.
No. The final verdict from all the sources is that the only true antivirus we have left is human instinct, that gut feeling. If something feels off, if the urgency feels artificial, if the request feels slightly out of character, listen to that feeling.
It's ironic, isn't it? In the age of supreme technology, our best defense is our gut.
It is. Naivety is a death sentence now. Skepticism is safety.
I want to leave everyone with a thought to mull over. We've talked about this AI Cold War, this sword and shield battle between malicious AIs and defensive AIs. If we are entering a world where you essentially need an AI bodyguard to verify reality for you, what happens to human connection?
That's a big question.
If every time my mom calls, I have to wait for a green light for my security agent to believe it's her, that changes us. We're moving into a zero-trust society. How do we maintain our humanity when we have to treat everyone like a potential simulation?
That is the question we'll all be wrestling with for the next decade.
Heavy stuff. But better to be prepared than surprised. Check your settings, have that awkward conversation about a safe word with your family, and stay skeptical out there. Thanks for diving in with us.
Stay safe.